Andrew, thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure. Now, first things first, what is the impact of the nudge on repayments in the financial market, considering the increasing market use of services like Buy Now and Pay Later?
Well, typically, for some types of bills, people don't actually have set up automatic payments, and specifically for things like credit cards, where you know, the bill is of a variable size each month for the most part. And you know, although the statement comes around every month, you might sort of overlook it for whatever reason. And so the nudge, whether it comes through the form of a text message on your phone or whether you open your banking app to give you a bit of a reminder that your credit card needs paying, typically helps customers, you know, at the margins pay off more so than not. Maybe 2 or 3% more customers will pay off given they've received a text message, which is quite substantial in the scheme of things.
Yeah, right. So I guess how different and influential, I guess, is nudge as a tool kind of when compared to other tools of economic intervention?
Well, I think part of it is, you know, a lot of the time we're trying to prevent consumers from falling victim to their own inherent biases. And perhaps the most prominent behavioural bias that we might come up with is this inertia, where people basically, you know, they're putting off to do tomorrow what they should be doing today. And, you know, they're sort of at odds with their initial what's good for them now versus what's good for them in the long run. And quite often these are conflicting goals, right? So that could include things like, well, I don't want to pay my bills today because I would rather spend that money, but down the track you would rather not have incurred late fees, right? And so most of what nudging is doing is trying to sort of help people sort of look after their future selves rather than their present selves, even though the temptation is there just to ignore the problem.
Yeah, totally. Sorry, I put on the wrong mic. Yeah, no, absolutely. So do you think the nudge intervention, like, is it subliminal or, like, explicit among consumers? Like, how ignored or well-recognized is this as less as, like, a reminder thing, but more of, like, as a tool by consumers?
I think people are aware of the concept of nudges for, you know, in different ways, whether it's sort of, it's specifically, you know, at the front of their mind or not. It is often used, and it's a tool that's been used in marketing and, you know, by things like poker machines for years. But, you know, instead of using these psychological cues to encourage you to do something like buying a product or, you know, gamble your money away, it's actually being used to help you out. So this includes things like, you know, giving you default settings when you, say, sign up for your superannuation fund, right? That's an example of a nudge where instead of putting you just in an all-cash option, which, you know, you might be tempted to choose because you're not closely following the paperwork, you put the default option is kind of an option that's more likely to suit the average person, which could be a balanced investment between stocks and bonds.
Yeah, right. So last but certainly not least, do you think the significance of the nudge just kind of decreased with the plethora of promotional materials now available?
Well, I think everything is competing for our attention, and you know, how nudges work, you know, it's pretty clear from what some of our research has been shown is that sometimes nudges will work and sometimes they may not work. And, you know, depending on what context you're and what type of behavior people are, I guess, most accustomed to dealing with. For instance, you know, if I wasn't planning on paying off my credit card anyway, having the nudge there is not going to be influential at all. So it kind of works on the people who it's kind of primed to work on already. So it is, you know, there is, I guess, some limited value to that. And repeated exposure to these types of nudges may have, I guess, they may have some reduced effect over time. But, you know, quite often, because it's sort of self-consciously tilting you in the right direction, on the whole, it probably, as long as it's well designed and the choice architecture is up to the consumer, the nudges will often help people help themselves, right? So this can include a number of things, and this includes, say, what other consumers are doing in the same situation, And it could also just include, you know, setting the right default option and then making consumers have to deviate from that if that's what they want to do.
Yeah, right. Well, Andrew, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. It's been really great talking about this.
No problem.